And now we continue with the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have determined, all too briefly, of course, who the Holy Spirit is. And now we look at the ministry and how he performs in our lives. Let us turn to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Oh, what a tremendous chapter this is. You and I, as homemakers, we need to be in this chapter constantly. Here is the most beautiful pattern for triumphant, successful living at home and in the neighborhood. Because the title of this chapter is The Walk of the Believer. The Walk of the Believer. How do I act? How do I perform when I experience this new birth that Jesus spoke about in John 3? When the Holy Spirit moves into my life and I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Master of my life, and the expressed person of God, who is the Holy Spirit, moves into my life, and I become a temple of the Holy Spirit, how do I perform? Ephesians 5 answers that question, the performance of the believer. And first of all, you see in verse 2 that it is to be a walk of love. And notice what kind of love. Walk in love as Christ hath loved us. What a challenge. That same sacrificial love that expresses the love of God, who gave Jesus, who gave the Holy Spirit, that same sacrificial love is to be our love. We are to walk in that kind of love. Now, that kind of love is a fragrant love. That kind of love has a fragrance all of its own. Now, I've known people like this, and so do you. People who have this walk of love, and their lives are so fragrant that you never have to ask if they're Christians. It's very evident. So then, point one, the walk of the Spirit-filled believer is a walk of love. In verses 3 and 4, you have the second point. It is a cleansed walk. All uncleanness and covetousness should not be named among us. Filthiness, foolish talking, unnecessary jesting, but rather the giving of thanks. Our mouths, our conversation, our lives should be above reproach. It should be clean lives, a cleansed life. Because recall, 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the Holy Spirit lives within us. He's resident in our lives. Can you believe the express person of God living in a dirty house? You know, about 5 or 6 years ago, sin was sin. When I was raised, sin was sin. I mean, you had to term it what it was. But today, sin has become an experiment. And the sting of sin doesn't seem to be evident anymore. We're not supposed to relate that way to sin as Christians. We are supposed to face sin as it is. And when we have sin in our lives, it's to be confessed and cleansed. We are to have a cleansed life before God. And we're to have a cleansed temple for the expressed person of God, who is the Holy Spirit, to live in it. And we're not to whitewash over the problem. We're to get rid of it, confess it, and cleanse it. We're also to have a light exposed life. Look at verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. You're to walk as children of light. Now, what does that mean? You know, anything that is exposed under the light shows all the blemishes. So constantly we should come to the light of God's Word. Every child of God should be into the Word of God at least once a day, at least once a day. And always say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. If you only read one verse, let the light of this verse expose me to myself. Expose my motives, my decisions, the reasons why I say and do things, my feelings, my spirit. If there's an unfriendly, unkind, unloving spirit within me, light exposes. And we are to live a light exposed life. Now, you know, you and I look at those three factors that should be evident in our lives, and we say, oh, dear me, there's no way in which I can do this. The Christian life, it is rugged. Yes, it most certainly is. Nobody, but nobody, can live the Christian life. That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the sustainer, the one who can sustain within me a walk of love, the one who can sustain within me a life exposed to the light of His Word, the one who can sustain within me constant cleansing for my confession. Only the Holy Spirit can do this. You know, Francis Schaeffer, whom I'm very fond of, by the way, and I might recommend that you get some of his books, and I would recommend one above others, and that would be True Spirituality. In that book, he reminds us that we are like glaciers. You know, if you see a glacier, and I don't know if you've ever seen one, I remember as a little girl seeing a glacier. It was the most awesome experience of my life. That big, huge, massive thing of ice in gorgeous formation. Well, now, you know, I didn't realize that I wasn't looking at the whole glacier, but I wasn't. I was only looking at 1/10 of it. 9/10 of it you cannot see. And Francis Schaeffer, in his book True Spirituality, reminds us of this. He says, there are 9/10 of us that nobody sees. You know, the 1/10 of us is performing rightly. You know, we're the mother, the wife, the businesswoman, the neighbor, the daughter, the friend, you know, that we should be on the outside in that 1/10. But 9/10 of us are beneath the surface. Now that's where the Holy Spirit does His ministry in our lives. Not in the 1/10 necessarily, but in the 9/10. That's where He wants to express the love of God. That's where He wants to have a cleansed life expressed, so that our motives are clean. That's where He turns on the searchlight, the light of God's Word, the light of truth in our lives, and exposes to us our motivation and our thoughts and our unkind feelings that are there, our unloving spirit that is there to certain people. The Holy Spirit ministers in the 9/10 of us. So you move further into Ephesians 5, and you see again, Scripture gives us the secret to this walk that every believer should have. And the secret is, be filled with the Spirit. Now, by the way, that's not a choice. That's a command. Verse 18. Notice the analogy that we're given here. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What an analogy. What a simple analogy. Now, we all know what happens when somebody drinks too much. They're under the influence of what they've had to drink. They're under the influence of the spirits. And they've totally given themselves over to it. And you know, someone who's very timid can become very bold. That's why they drink many times. Or someone who is too bold gets very quiet and sleeps. And so they can be restive and they can be quiet and all their anxieties are done away with because they're then serene and at peace. So whatever their need is, they're totally transformed into what they are not. The spirits give them that because they've given themselves over to the spirits. That's exactly what Scripture says you and I should do with the Holy Spirit of God. Be filled with Him. Allow Him to control every area of your life. Now, that statement brings into focus a basic truth as to why we have believers who have such a faulty walk and why there are other believers who have a Spirit-filled walk. The fault lies into how much of you does the Holy Spirit have. You see, you can have all of the Holy Spirit. He moves into your life. He comes into your life. He dwells in your life. His Spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. Romans the 8th chapter. He's the Spirit of identification. I know I belong to God through the Spirit of God. He moves into my life when I receive Jesus Christ. That moment He becomes mine. He lives in my life. But does He have all of you? You see, there's a secret here. Either the Holy Spirit is a resident in your life, or He is president in your life. Now, when He's only resident, there'll be areas of your life that He will not control. You'll have certain doors in your life, like a house has rooms, that you'll close to the Holy Spirit. Well, that's that little room of self-pity, and I won't give that over to Him. That's that little room of a grudge that I've been carrying for years. I won't give that over to Him either. That's that little room of an unforgiving spirit because I can't forgive that one who hurt me and who wounded and ruined my life. That's that little room of malice because of my childhood and my background. I bear malice to those who raised me. And on you and I can go. These are all the little areas that we shut the door like we do in a room that we don't want guests to see when they come to our house. We shut the door. And we do not give that over to the Holy Spirit. Then he's resident only in our lives. But when he is present in our lives, when he controls all of us, then we can really understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit. See, you have all of the Holy Spirit. But does he have all of you? That's the important thing. And that is exactly what Ephesians 5:18 is talking about. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let him have all of you. Now, how is that going to affect you? Well, you're going to be the believer that you should be in your walk, in your conversation, in your talk. But it's going to go farther than that. It's going to affect your attitude in all things. Because this is what we see. Look at verse 19. If you're going to be filled with the Spirit, you're going to be a praiseful person. A praiseful person, not a negative person. That means you're going to be a positive, praiseful person. That's verse 19. Verse 20 says you're going to be a thankful person, giving thanks always for all things. Why? Well, I quoted it on the other tape, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose. You see, God the source, God the Father the source is in control of all things. He has sent God the Son to supply that control in your life and mine, and the sustainer is the Holy Spirit to make you and I realize that though we do not appreciate what we're going through, we're not happy in the tunnel, yet we can be thankful in that tunnel because God the source has a plan, and the sustainer of that source is going to work out that plan, and he is the Holy Spirit. So one who is filled with the Holy Spirit is a praiseful person. That person is a thankful person. Now, we come down to verse 21. And this is a portion of Scripture that makes all the women squirm, and they really get their dander up on this. As soon as you get to the word submit, you can just sense the immediate response. I do. I look out over a sea of faces many times, sometimes 500 women, sometimes 2,000 women, and I get to this word submit, and I can see something happen to their expression. Up until that moment, they were enjoying everything. Now she's gone to meddling. I don't like what she's going to say. We don't like that word submit. But you see, that's all part of the beautiful experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the word submit means to be bendable, to be adjustable. Submitting yourselves one to another because you love God. You're doing it as unto God, not unto yourself. Not that you'd receive praise to yourself as being such a beautiful person. But you're doing it to glorify God. You're submitting yourself one to another. Notice, it doesn't begin in the family. It begins outside the family. That in committee work, in employee and employer relationships, in friend-to-friend relationships, in church member-to-church member relationships, in all that you and I do out on the circumference of our activities out there, we're to be bendable and adjustable with all these personalities that could be the emery board personalities in our lives that rub us the wrong way. We're to be adjustable. Why? Because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Because he's the one that brings people together. Remember the book of Acts? He brought the Gentiles and the Jews together. Two people with intense prejudices, intense bigotry, uniting them together. He's the Spirit of integration. And that's what he wants to do in your life and mine. He wants harmony in our relationships. Now he's moving into the center. Now he's going to move into the home where you and I live, where we perform at our lowest ebb inside our front door. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And again, we take that word and remember what it means. We are bendable. We are adjustable as wives. We can adjust in situations. We can adjust to the opposite personality we've married. And only the Holy Spirit can do this in our lives. So you see the continuity of all of this, our walk as we're representing Christ outside our front door, one to another, our attitude, we're a praiseful, positive person, we're full of thanksgiving, and then it comes to the personal relationships in our home. Now that's really what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. That our hearts are full of praise, that we're full of thanksgiving, that we're a bendable, adjustable person, that we can be big people in the midst of situations that would cause static and strain and stress, and we have loads of those situations when we have to be adjustable, when we don't always get our way, when other people are being promoted and other people are getting the place of prominence and we've done all the work and they're getting all the glory. To be adjustable, to be bendable, that's exactly what Scripture tells us. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, turn with me to the book of John. I could stay forever in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, because there's so much there. But I want to quote Jesus. You know, I said to somebody who came to me the other day, they were so distressed and so confused about the person of the Holy Spirit, and they've been in and out of this group and that group, and these groups don't agree in their doctrinal approach to this. And I said, oh, look, when was the last time you turned to the Word of God and took Jesus as your authority? And I recommend that. I recommend that. Don't ever be confused. Go to the highest word of authority. And who is that? The supplier of the source, Jesus himself. When Jesus speaks, you and I can take it as the highest word of authority. Now let's turn to the 16th chapter of John. And this is Jesus speaking. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Praise God for that. There's very little truth today that you and I can depend upon, but you can depend upon Jesus. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter. Now that word Comforter means one like myself. One like myself. Notice the picture of the Trinity coming back into focus. God the Father, the source. God the Son, the supplier. God the Holy Spirit, the sustainer. The supplier is going away, but there'll be a sustainer of all of that supply in your life constantly and in my life constantly. So the word Comforter, one like myself, is going to come unto you. I will send him. Remember what Jesus said in John, the 20th chapter? I give him. I will send him. And when he has come, verse 8, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The Spirit of God is the spirit of illumination. You and I can never convince someone they're a sinner. Don't try. Only the Spirit of God can do this. He is the Spirit of illumination. And his ministry in this world is to convince. He is to convince that Jesus is the Son of God. And you and I can't convince anyone of that. You and I can share Jesus. We can share our experience in our life with others, but we cannot convince them. The Holy Spirit is a convincer, because he is the spirit of illumination. You and I cannot convince someone that God's going to judge this world. The whole world wants to believe in the love of God, but they don't want to believe in the judgment of God. And we're never going to convince this world of that. It is the Holy Spirit who will convince them. And unless the Holy Spirit does, they will stay unconvinced. And again, I repeat, you and I cannot convince anyone of sin. Only the Holy Spirit can convince someone of sin. He is the spirit of illumination. All right, let's go on in verse 12, same chapter. I have yet many things I'd like to say to you, Jesus speaking, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Ah, dear hearts, you never have to be in a state of quandary or a state of confusion. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And when you and I are in a state of confusion, we're not being directed of the Holy Spirit. We're being directed with man's opinion, but not the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit of truth, and there's no confusion in truth. When he has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now notice something about the Holy Spirit. Said by Jesus, who's giving him, for he it is whose spirit he is.
he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. Me. Dear hearts, here's a beautiful secret as to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That whenever you and I are glorifying either gifts or abilities or personalities other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is not ministering through us. The flesh is doing the ministering. When the Holy Spirit ministers in your life and mine, he will always glorify Jesus. He will not even glorify himself. This is what Jesus said. This is not my opinion, and you have it before you in the Word of God. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you, all that I know. You see why Jesus could say to the disciples in John the 20th chapter, as God the Father has sent me, so send I you, because everything that I have, all the power that God's given me, the power over the cross, the power over death, the triumphant victory in my life, all of that is going to be yours. Why? Because I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. That's why. Now that's the beautiful part about it. That all that Jesus has and is, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, I have. Because I have him. I have him. And the Holy Spirit in my life is going to take all that has been revealed to Jesus through the Source, through God the Father, and he's going to reveal it to me bit by bit, piece by piece, as I walk with him and as I allow him to fill my life. That's why Ephesians 5, you and I have the command, be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. Give all of yourself over to him. So that you can walk in this complete revelation of truth and have the Holy Spirit reveal himself to you over and over and over again. All right, turn with me back to the book of Acts. There's so much in Acts that we didn't have time for. And look in Acts, the first chapter, verses 6, right before Jesus left. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. The source. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power. Remember what I said who the Holy Spirit was? He was the expressed power of God. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know, as I look at that word power, I think of the power that the Holy Spirit brings into your life and mine. The power of authority. You are under the authority of the Source of all things, God the Father. You are under the authority of the supplier of that Source, Jesus Christ. When he has come, he shall glorify me. You are under his authority. So you're under the authority of God the Father. You're under the authority of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And not only that, but you have the power of ability. Not only the power of authority, but the power of ability. Now that doesn't mean particularly that we all have the same talents. That doesn't mean that we're all trained the same. Because, you see, the one who is able in your life is the same one who is able in my life. And that one is completely able. That is the Holy Spirit. That is not I. I could be a person totally without any talent. You could be a person totally without any talent. Although there is no one without any talent. We all have at least one talent. But we could feel an absolute blob. Who am I? What can I do? And I've heard women say this to me. Who am I and what can I do? And these women are today serving God in such a beautifully outstanding way that it would take books to share with the world what women are doing. And these were the women who said, who am I? What can I do? I've never done anything in my life before. I'm timid. I don't have any background. I don't have any training. But you see, when you and I have the expressed power of God in our lives, we have the capable one within us. We have the able one within us. And it is he that performs through us. It is the power that performs, not the person, you and me. It is the performing power who is the Holy Spirit of God. Remember when God called Moses? Remember what Moses said? I can't speak. You know, that's a laughable thing. It truly is. In fact, the scripture has a lot of humor therein. And you can have many a good laugh when you go through the Old Testament. And you see how they reacted when God called them. When God called Gideon, Gideon said, I can't fight. When God put his commission upon David, David said, I can't be king. I can't rule. And all I've ever done is look out over the sheep. I certainly can't take care of people. He didn't realize that sheep and people were closely related. I'm sure that all of us have realized this because we have the chief shepherd who came for the sheep. But to me, the reaction of people is very interesting because human nature always reacts the same way. Lord, I can't do this. And I laugh at this because I say to myself, isn't that a stupid thing to say? As if God doesn't know you can't do it. He is God the Father, the Source. Moses didn't have to tell God he couldn't speak. God knew he couldn't speak. You and I don't have to tell God, I can't do this. He knows it. And sometimes you and I say we can do it, and God knows we can't do it. God knows what you and I can't do. So don't waste his time. I remember one time telling God many things I couldn't do, and they were before me to do. And a little voice said to me, you're wasting God's time. And your own. Don't waste God's time telling him what you can't do. And don't waste your own. Remember that the Holy Spirit of God wants to invest within you power. Power. For he is the expressed power of God. And when you and I say we cannot do it, yes, in the flesh we cannot do it. But through the Holy Spirit, what do we read in Philippians 4th chapter? I can do all things through Christ. Strengtheneth me. Now let's go on to John the 14th chapter. And again, we're going back to the highest word of authority, Jesus. No higher word of authority on the Holy Spirit than Jesus. And look at John 14. Now again, he's comforting his disciples. He's referring to the time that he has to go away, and he is going to leave them. And we begin in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, that's a beautiful portion of Scripture. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now, it almost sounds like the 16th chapter, doesn't it? I'm going to give you the comforter. And here he says, I'm going to give you another comforter. Again, you have this whole thought, another one, just like myself, because that's who I have been. That he may abide with you. Ah, notice the terminology. He's going to dwell within you. You're never going to have to search for the Holy Spirit. He's going to be within you. Resident. It's your decision to make him president. He's going to be within you. And again, he reiterates the fact, the Spirit of Truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive. You see, there's no way in which you and I can recognize the Holy Spirit unless our spiritual eyes have been opened through spiritual birth. We can't really see the Holy Spirit. There's an awareness. That's what Romans 8 is talking about. His Spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. It's that awareness that he dwells within my life. We're not seeing him with physical eyes. We don't comprehend him with the ordinary powers of the mind. No way. It is only through spiritual birth, when our spiritual eyes have been opened, by this spiritual birth, through the Holy Spirit, that we can recognize him for whom he is. Because the world cannot receive him and cannot see him. Neither can the world know him. But you'll know him. Why? Because he's dwelling with you. And he shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. Praise God for that. Isn't that beautiful? Now look at verse 26. This comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Notice the Trinity. God the Father, the Source. God the Son, the Supplier. God the Holy Spirit, the Sustainer. Whom God the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. and he'll bring all things to your remembrance. He's the spirit of interpretation, not only the spirit of illumination, but the spirit of interpretation, because he will constantly interpret to you Jesus. Constantly. He will lead you into all truth. He will interpret scripture to you. He will bring to you all remembrance that you need to remember at the right time, when you need to remember, whatsoever I have said unto you. And then he goes on again with that beautiful verse, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. See, the Holy Spirit is the supplier of that peace. There's no way for you and I to experience peace, the peace of God, unless it is through the Holy Spirit. Look at that verse 27. You can't have this peace as the world giveth, because that's a very temporary thing. One day you're at peace, and the next day you're so restless you don't know which way to turn. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, because I am the spirit of increase. I will increase in your life peace. There will be coping power in your life. Now, that's a beautiful thing to experience, isn't it? Because that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. This peace is going to be yours. You're going to have truth within you. You're going to have one who's going to open to you the scriptures. And you know, the Bible is just a book of cover and paper and ink till the Holy Spirit reveals to you what the Word of God has to say. I remember an English professor of mine in the university who could quote more Bible verbatim and not miss one single word nor the punctuation than anyone I've ever met in my life. But he was an atheist. He was an atheist. He refuted every word of the Bible. And yet he knew so much of it. He knew more than any Christian I know by heart. And yet he was an atheist. What was the purpose of his knowing the Bible? Only to refute it. But you see, you might not be able to quote scripture at all. And I might not be able to quote it even rightly. But there's one thing. It will be explained to me. I will understand it. This dear man, being an atheist, didn't understand what he was quoting. He refuted all of it. He had no understanding of it at all. And that's what verse 26 says to us. It is the Spirit of God and He alone that shall teach you all things. He will teach you the Scripture. He will open to you the Scripture. That's why you must never come to the Word of God. Unless we say, Spirit of God, teach me, show me. It is the Spirit of God who is the teacher. And then he takes us from the teaching portion of it onto the area of coping through what he has taught us. Notice the continuity. First he's the teacher, he brings truth into our lives, then we have that coping ability, that peace. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Then we have coping power. The ability to cope no matter what the situation is. I'm reminded of a beautiful illustration that comes to my mind at this moment because it's a factual illustration. A woman who had given more than 40 years on the mission field and had been a successful missionary. God had really blessed her. There had been many indigenous churches developed because of her ministry. She had entered into many areas of the indigenous people's lives. She was not only a missionary, she was a teacher. She was more of a Peace Corpsman than she was just a missionary. She taught women how to keep their homes, how to take care of their bodies. She entered into the lives of the people she loved, and everybody loved her. But in the time that she was away, all the members of her family had died, and she was coming home after 40 years of service, not to loved ones, not to friends. Many of those had died, but she was coming home alone to live out her last days in her home country. Some businessmen in the United States had paid for her return trip, and they had her in first class. That thrilled me. I wish we would take care of all of our missionaries like that. They deserve that kind of treatment. And so she was surrounded by people of prominence and wealth. There was one woman that was on board that ship. that seemed to be a very special person because there was always an entourage of people around her. And as the boat was docking into the New York harbor, she realized this woman was very special. Because there were limousines there, and there were cameramen, and there were people screaming and waving, and flowers were being thrown, and ribbons were flying up in the air. And she noticed that this entourage of people who had always accompanied this woman on board ship, they stood around her, and there was yelling and screaming and laughing and hollering. And there she stood alone. All alone. The gangplank went down. And this entourage of well-wishers rushed up the gangplank, and this very prominent woman walked off with all of her friends and all the cameras clicking. And she realized that she was a movie star returning home from doing a movie on location. Very slowly, she looked at that crowd before her, and she made her way down the gangplank. She looked all around her, didn't see a familiar face. There was no one waving to her. There was no one taking a picture of her. As she walked down that gangplank, the tears began to slowly stream down her cheeks. And you know, dear heart, you and I enter into that picture very easily, don't we? All the things we've done, all the work, all the labor, with the family, with friends, in the church, oh, we've worked so hard. And then we can be forgotten. And that's how she felt as she walked down that gangplank. And in her heart, she said, Lord, did you forget? Did you forget? And a little voice said to her, so beautifully too, verse 27, John 14, my child, you're not home yet. You're not home yet. That is coping power. That is exactly what Jesus is talking about in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. That when you've given 40 years of your life alone, and you're coming back alone, and while everybody else is being applauded and praised and prominence is given to them, you're way in the background. My child, you're not home yet. You're not home yet. Only the Holy Spirit can at a moment like that bring the peace of God into your life and can be that voice that says to you, my child, you're not home yet. And I know she straightened up her shoulders and she held her head high. For she was the king's daughter. And one day, the king's daughter will have the right kind of welcome that she deserves. Who is the Holy Spirit? The expressed person of God. The expressed power of God. How does he minister? Illuminating our lives. Revealing to us the truth. Teaching us all things. And filling us with himself as we make the decision to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so filling our walk with love, cleansing our lives, filling our lives with light, and then making us adjustable, bendable people, out in the circumference of activity and behind the front door of our home, making us wives and mothers, an attitude that is praiseful and thankful in the midst of all things. May God bless you. But above that, may you very quietly go to some corner, some place, kneel before God, and give yourself totally and completely and wholly to the Holy Spirit. Let him move into every area of your life. Open the doors that you have shut to him. You're a Christian, but there are areas of your life that you've shut the Holy Spirit out of. Let him move in and cleanse out the unforgiving spirit, the area of malice, the area of bitterness, the area of resentment. Let him move in. Be filled with the Spirit.